This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. We've been talking about the state budget as Governor Walker will be unveiling his state budget on Wednesday of this week before a joint session of the state legislature. We'll be carrying that budget address live on the Ideas Network at 4 p.m. Wisconsin Public Television's Frederica Freiberg and Wisconsin Public Radio's Sean Johnson will be co-hosting our coverage. It will also include some expert analysis by the president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, Todd Berry. That's the coverage of the state budget address Wednesday at 4. We'll follow up on Thursday between 6 and 8 with all sorts of reaction and analysis to the proposed state budget. So lots more talk about that. Sean Johnson was previewing some of the big areas in the state budget that we can expect, some of the things that we know so far about what the governor is thinking. The governor did unveil at least some basic details of a plan to increase funding and support for rural schools last week, and we are discussing that plan with our guest, Kim Kokel, the executive director of the Wisconsin Rural School Alliance, who calls this plan a step in the right direction. We're welcoming your questions and your thoughts on what do we need to do to help our rural schools. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, Governor Walker is, as we talked about, proposing more aid to the program that funnels money to the state's lowest enrollment districts. He's also investing more toward busing or transporting students. He is also talking about steps to address teacher shortages in the rural parts of Wisconsin and increasing access to high-speed internet, increasing broadband. And we'll talk about those in detail in a moment, but I wanted to ask you, Kim, what would you say is the greatest need for rural schools today?
Well, I think the greatest need probably right now, beyond the funding, is, you know, you brought up the teacher shortage piece. It's getting very difficult for us to find teachers out there, but it's just not a rural issue. It's a statewide, national issue right now. For some reason, people are not finding education to be a honorable profession like they used to. And I think a lot of that has to do with some of the demonizing of public education over the last 5 or 6 years. We're actually working on some programs with some of our members right now to try to start building that pipeline back. And I know the governor has put some things in his budget to help with some flexibility and financial help to attract some people into education.
I think that plan was generally having the UW Flex degree program helping to train teachers' aides and other paraprofessionals to become full-time teachers. What is your response or reaction to that plan?
I think it's a good plan. After 34 years in education myself, there's a lot of really great paraprofessionals out there that, you know, maybe didn't have the opportunity to go on to school when they were younger, but are great working with kids and, you know, are an integral part of many of our school districts. And so I think this is a great opportunity to grow some of these folks from within, and many of them live in our community. So, you know, they're already entrenched there and you know, they have that bond to the community. So I think it could be a real plus for many of our rural schools. I think along with some of the DPI licensure proposals that are going to be coming out here shortly also, that may help with some of our shortage until we can get the pipeline filled back up again.
Another $13 million would go toward broadband internet, something that many of us in urban areas might take for granted. Help us understand what school districts are dealing with when it comes to internet access, especially rural schools.
Well, I think the best piece of this piece of legislation that the governor put forward here was it also included infrastructure for the first time. You know, many of our rural districts have the pipeline coming up to their buildings with high-speed internet, but they can't get it into their buildings because they can't afford the cost to upgrade the infrastructure in their buildings to handle that bandwidth. So, you know, that it was great to see, but it's also great that, you know, we still have pockets in the state that are in high need of you know, high-speed broadband that they just don't have at this point. And that is the part of the reason that they're working with these hotspots on buses. I don't know if you saw that in the article or not, there was a pilot program last year of using hotspots up in the northern part of the state where they're on the buses. And, you know, many of our students are on the bus for an hour, hour and a half, and this gives them a great opportunity to have high-speed internet access while they're on the bus to complete homework, you know, and especially out in the rural areas where, you know, once kids get home from school, many of them go right out, you know, to do chores and things like that. So this gives them a opportunity to not only get homework done in advance, but also have access to that high-speed internet.
1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you have a question or a reaction to Governor Walker's proposal to support rural schools in Wisconsin in the upcoming state budget. Zach in Wapaka is with us. Hi, Zach.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have just a couple of comments. The first one is that it seems like there's a vicious cycle of property taxes and schools getting funded through local referendums. I certainly hope this new rural school funding doesn't somehow manipulate local citizens from being able to go get the funds they need locally through referendums, because that's a huge part of rural school budgets, especially when there's big needs. The second comment I have is regarding the teacher shortage. This is directly related to Governor Walker's policies with Act 10. I'm 34 years old. Most of my classmates who went to school to be teachers have left the profession. And when I came out of college, it was not uncommon to have 50 applicants for a single spot. Now that's dramatically dropped, and there isn't, you know, this rural teacher shortage is really a man-made thing from Act 10.
And you made reference to that, Kim. You agree with that?
Yeah, I do believe Act 10 did have a major impact on our teacher shortage. And, you know, I also believe we had a number of our senior teachers that probably opted out early because they saw, you know, the impact that it was going to have on possible post-retirement, things like that. And so, yeah, it really did. And I can tell you from being a high school principal, I always used to talk to my graduating seniors every year to find out, you know, what everybody was going into. And I, you know, my average classes were about 130 for graduating. And we'd average probably 10 to 15 prior to Act 10 every year that we're going to go into education. After Act 10, for the first 3 years after Act 10, I had zero kids interested.
Of money or lack of collective bargaining power, or because that somehow?
I think a lot of students looked at it as, you know, that kind of a lack of respect, and that they didn't know what kind of money was going to be there anymore for it. You know, anybody that goes into education doesn't go into it for the money, but, you know, they were starting to see the handwriting on the wall with, you know, benefits going away and things like that, that, you know, it could be tough to make ends meet at times.
Do you know, Zach was concerned that with this increase in support for rural schools, that somehow he hopes that that the power to increase school funding via referendum would not be taken away. You have no indication that that power would be taken away, do you?
As of right now, no. I mean, if you remember in the last legislative session, there was a bill trying to be pushed through on limiting referendums, and I have heard that may float up again. The positive thing with what the governor's proposing and reading the article yesterday and the information that came out with the increase of $200 per student in year one will help immensely so districts don't have to go to referendum as much. You know, it is, again, a step in the right direction. It's kind of a cost of living increase and gets us back to somewhat where we need to be. So hopefully that will help districts not have to go to referendum as much. But I don't see anything in the governor's proposal that would impact referendums. But, you know, if the senator that brought the referendum bill forward last session that got defeated brings it forward again, it could have that impact.
Yeah, and you are referring to this $649 million increase in state spending for K-12 education overall. That was just, as mentioned, it just got hit the papers recently, and
yep.
That's going to help rural schools as well, right?
Correct, mm-hmm. And that is in line with what we had requested also when we went in for our budget meetings.
Yeah, Ricardo and Racine is with us. Hi, Ricardo.
Good morning. I just want to say I'm real pleased that the governor now is starting to listen to the state superintendent, Tony Evers, for some of these new plans for, you know, getting more aid into the schools, particularly the rural area. And I hope that he'll support Tony Evers as he runs for state superintendent, too.
All right, Ricardo, I don't know if our guests can actually respond to that or not. Do you think the governor's listening to DPI superintendent Tony Evers, Kim?
I do, because, you know, in looking at what the governor's bringing forward, much of the same things were in Superintendent Evers' budget proposal also. So, you know, I do think there is, you know, he is listening. And I think, you know, he's listening to what his legislators are hearing from their constituents out in rural Wisconsin.
Yeah. Let's see if I think we can fit one more in. Let's try Mike in Madison. Hi, Mike.
Hi, good morning. It's interesting that the governor is throwing $500 million in, and rather than, you know, lots of heaping praise, I hear talk about Act 10 and why teachers aren't, or why people aren't going into teaching. I didn't hear our guest talk about the poor performance of the education system over the last 10 years as one of the reasons possibly why somebody wouldn't want to go in. I didn't hear him talk about how unions had strangleholded the system. But it's always no money, and it's always the governor's fault. You know, we're sick and tired of that. And here you're getting more money. Maybe we should start calling our legislators and saying, if this is what we're going to get with more money, why give it to them?
Well, what's your response to that, Kim?
Well, that's not my intent at all. My intent is, as I said, this is a step in the right direction. I'm very happy to see that we're moving forward because if you look back prior to Act 10, there's some drastic hits to public education. And I would strongly disagree with the comment about failing public education, because if you look at the numbers overall throughout the state, public education is very strong and doing very well.
Yeah. Well, we're going to leave it there for now. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Kim Kokol is the executive director of the Wisconsin Rural School Alliance. Thanks to producers this morning, Bill Martins and Marika Suval and Nyasia Ellison. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.